Andy Holding's Racing Podcast from William Hill. Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcasts. Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Irish Racing Preview with Alex Stone and Andy Holding, with you to guide you through Cork's card on Friday evening. A treat for you as well, because it's a mixed card. There really is something for everyone. If you're a fan of the jumpers, then you'll go to Downpatrick, because there's also a card there tonight. But we're going to focus on Cork. We've got seven races to look at, and we'll start after saying good morning, Andy Holding.
Morning, Alex Stone.
How are you?
Pretty good, yeah. Quite sprightly, considering it was a long day yesterday. Set for another one today, even more arduous, you could say. I think it's 8 meetings today, including the 2 Irish. Mm. We're obviously covering Cork tonight on the podcast for podcasters' benefit, because I'm not sure we're going to be able to squeeze into the show, such as the compact nature of the evening.
Yeah, we've got three domestic meetings, so we won't be able to squeeze any Irish in tonight, but hopefully you can give the listeners an early handle on the card, because, of course, you were in the studio yesterday. You're going to be in there again today. But you've been very kind, and you're going to look at Cork for us. As I said, 7 races, a mixed card. And with a mixed card, it can be quite difficult to get a handle, because just as you think, oh, I might have the hang of this, then they're jumping hurdles instead of focusing on where they're being drawn. But at the same time, it does mean that there is a bit of everything, and it's good value to watch, at least.
Yeah, and also 2 differing going reports as well. We've got good yielding in place on the hurdle track, and then we've got soft on the straight track on the sprint course. That is the complex nature of the evening. And, of course, we've got rain forecast as well, of which we might get quite heavy periods throughout the afternoon and evening, so we need to bear that in mind as well.
OK. So a bit of difficulty there, and it doesn't get much easier with the first race, Andy. It's the 5:10, and it's a maiden over 5 furlongs, where 7 runners are down to go to post, and we know nothing about any of them. Not a single piece of previous form to go off. As we speak, Waipu Cove has been well-backed for the Lions team. He's 15-8. Old Enemy drifting a little at 5-2. Crimea River 11-4. So Lions, Washman and Stack, the first 3 in the betting. They're the trainers. And it's then 10-1 or bigger the rest. Obviously, we don't know much about these, Andy, at all. In fact, we don't know anything. What's your selection going to be?
Well, I'll probably have to go with Waipu Cove, just based on the fact that Gerlines is the only one of these trainers here today who's had a 2-year-old winner so far this season. And Waipu Cove runs in the colours of that aforementioned winner in the shape of Blood Moon, obviously owned by Sean Jones. So there's half a chance that this horse might have been working with Blood Moon, of course, won at Dundalk, beating a horse of Aidan O'Brien's, who subsequently went on to win. And Blood Moon himself ran really well the other day at the Curra in quite a hot race behind one of Michael O'Callaghan's. And the fact that this horse has been put in favourite and has been backed as well with William Hill certainly indicates that there is a good deal of positivity behind this horse. A little bit of a guessing game, of course. Stalls on the stand side rail, high numbers usually figure, so it's 4 out of 7, not too bad. So all things add up for Waipu Cove to run a good race in the first race.
Okay, next up is the 5:40, a handicap over 5 furlongs. We know a lot more about a lot of these. We'll start with Kimbe here, Andy. Second favourite as we speak and returning from a break, but she was in fantastic form when we last saw her. She just doesn't seem to know how to run a bad race. But that said, if she is going to run a bad one, you'd imagine it would be on a return from a 147-day break.
Yeah, added to that, the fact that she's best forms on a all-weather surface, and she's got stall number 1 as well, which could end up being a desperate draw for Noel Lawler's in-form mare. Therefore, I'm probably going to have to look towards the horses that are A, drawn towards the Stanford rail, and B, have had a propensity to run well in the early part of the season on soft ground. And those 2 that stand out are Orjok, who keeps running consistently well, but regular podcasts will know he's a very difficult horse to win with. He ran quite well the other day at the Curra over 6 furlongs when he was in a very strongly run race won by In Salutem. He'd be certainly one to have a look at from an each-way perspective, as he runs the track really well and he handles the ground. And also Well Done Me is the other one in question. I thought this horse ran a Herculean race the other day against 2 horses who probably will go on to make up into pattern performers. Eisenhower from the Aidan O'Brien stable, I think his connections have got high hopes. Him, he'll make into a nice sprinter. And well done, me, considering that she was probably in that maiden, probably having to find the best part of a stone to be competitive there. Did really well for a 74 rated horse. Prior to that, she'd run well on soft ground behind Great Wide Open, a strongly run race on the figures at Tipperary. 5 furlongs fine, track obviously good, decent draw in stall out, likes to race prominently. I think Brian Nolan's filly is another one that should be on everyone's shortlist. So two against the field there, up against the stand rail, Arjok, and Well Done Me are the two I'd be very interested in that 5 furlong sprint.
Okay, the 6.10 is the final flat race on the card. It's a handicap over 6 furlongs, and it's really, really competitive, Andy. Heading affairs as we speak is Battler of the Boyne, who is as consistent as you'd like, but he really does struggle to get his head in front. He's the kind of horse that you'd want to be backing when he goes a double-figure price each way in a slightly better race, but could you back him to win this?
Not really, no. He's probably got more silver and bronze. You know, you'd open your own sort of jewellery shop with him. I'm not really sure whether he's a bet at the prices, particularly as he's drawn in stall 4, which is not ideal. So therefore, I'm going to concentrate on those that are drawn high. And the standout horse for me here, with conditions in her favour, is Sophia Spirit, who's run a couple of good races on the figures so far this season. One, of course, at Cork behind that Casualty. Regular podcasters will know that race is one of the early speed figure races which I've been concentrating on, and it's already thrown up the likes of Jalika and several horses in behind, such as Dragon Khan, which have run well subsequently. And although Sophia Spirit was beaten the other day by Battle of the Boyne, that was a race that, of course, was synonymous for the fact that Bobby Jean, who was second, has gone on to win subsequently. Oh, not Bobby Jean that day. I still don't know how that horse managed to get beat that day. But I do think that form's solid. Sophia Spirit came out really well from a modest draw, and I could see her going really well tonight. She's got a decent stall position tonight. She run well at the track. She'll handle the conditions. And around about 7 or 8 to 1, I think Michael Brown's in-form mare, Sophia Spirit, should finish in the first four at the very least.
Okay, then Sophie Spirit with Shamie Heffernan aboard in the 6.10. The 6.45 is the first of the hurdle races. It is a mare's maiden hurdle over 2.5 miles. And you say mare's maiden hurdle, and sometimes you think, oh, crikey, this is going to be desperate. But there's actually quite a few who arrive here in decent enough form, with solid bumper form, and one that's been really, really well backed already, Andy. We're recording this at 10:30 on Friday morning. Carla Brandy, 9-2 into 11-4. Can you see why that money's coming?
Oh, definitely, yeah. She's one of my shortlisted two in this race. She caught the eye, first of all, in that bumper that was won by Honey's Joy from the William Munden Stable. It was a great ride by Paddy Mullins that day. He went all the way around on the wing, searched for the better ground, whereas all the others went round the inside on the swamp. Carla Brandy and Chris Kindle were two of those, and they managed to finish second and third, respectively. Carla Brandy then went to Wexford, upped in trip, on soft ground, and stayed them very powerfully for two horses that have run well in the interim. Tigrawny, of course, won at Wexford the other day, around the track, obviously going left-handed for the first time. And I think that form's really solid. She's quite a big mare as well, Carla Brandy, so I think she'll handle the conditions, which are obviously on the soft side, and more rain won't inconvenience her chances. And obviously with her in mind as a possible selection, then Chris Kimmel has to come into the mix as well. She was only her head behind Carla Brandy that day at Thurles. And she's gone on to run an eye-catching race over hurdles the other day at Tipperary. It was the race that was won by Give Her Back. A teasing was second, but Chris Kindle was given an odd ride by Philip Enright on that occasion, dropped out the back door, never really put in the race until late on, but did some very good late work. I think the step up in triple suit her as well, and she's around about a 20-1 shot this morning, so I can see where there's money for Carla Brandy. She would be my number one choice down the front end of the market, but I certainly couldn't resist a few quid each one. Chris Kindle also at a big price.
Okay, interesting. Next up is the 7.15, which is a handicap hurdle over 2.5 miles. Arguably the best race on the card, this one, Andy. Some really nice types, some informed types, more importantly, and it looks an open race.
Yeah, a lot depends about the conditions here. I'll get a chance to probably revisit this race a little bit later on the show itself and give you an update, because my two against the field would be Car Jerish from the John Keighley stable, and the other one would be Why Not Thistle. Now, Why Not Thistle has got some really good form here at Cork. She comes out really well in my figures behind that Misty Lady in that strongly run 2-mile-3 event in the early part of April. I think a repeat of that form should see Daniel Murphy's 6-year-old go very close here. But the key to her is obviously soft or heavy ground. And at the time of recording, obviously, it's good yielding in places, but they are due rain. If it does rain, then her chances increase. Whereas Kuja Reish, if the rain doesn't materialise, then John Keighley's charge very much comes into the argument.
She ran a blinder behind One Call Princess, two starts to go over today's course and distance, very much going into the notebook. And she duly obliged next time out at Wexford on better ground. That was the first time she had good ground, and indeed the first time tongue tie. So if the ground stays as it is, she goes back to the scene of that Cork run, she's also going to be a huge factor. So those are my two to conjure with at the moment. Just keep your eye on the weather. Why not Thistle if it rains? But if it stays as it is, then I think Cardia Reese is worth more than a second look.
Okay, the 750 is next up. It's the penultimate race on the card, and it's a handicap hurdle over 3 miles. Might just take a bit of getting, given that the ground is on the soft side, Andy, and you'll have had a couple of races over hurdles already, perhaps churning the ground up. But with 6-1 the field at the time of recording, One Cool Princess heads affairs, but 9-1 bar that one, and this race has a very, very open look to it.
Yeah, well, I'm a big fan, however, of One Cool Princess, of course, trained by John Walsh, who is a trainer that stables a box very, very near to the track, so he often does well here, and that's very much backed up by One Cool Princess's overall track record here at Cork. Two career victories have both come here at this track, and one of them, of course, was two starts ago when she made all the running in the hands of Brian O'Connell, of course, takes the ride tonight to beat that subsequent winner, Cardia Reese. The pair of them were 54 lengths clear of the rest in quite a good time. She got nutted late on by Corporate Box on her next start at Limerick, but Limerick is a very unforgiving track for horses that race prominently sometimes, and she just couldn't quite deal with the winner in the latter stages. But that was another good run. She goes back to Cork, and given her, like I say, a love affair with the track, the distance shouldn't be fine either. She's going to take a very close rank in that competitive-looking three-mile handicap.
OK, fair enough. So One Cool Princess, hard to get away from in the 750. And the 820 is the final race, Andy. It is a maiden hurdle over 3 miles, and we've seen money for Bridie's Boy this morning. 3-1 from 5-1. That said, there are a few other informed types, or at least horses that have shown a little bit, perhaps not under rules. Who do you fancy in this one?
Certainly see, well, there's money for Bridie's Boy, again from the John Wall stable. They've obviously got the favourite strongly fancied as well in the race before, in the shape of One Cold Princess, and this horse was second here at the track behind a nice horse of Gordon Elliott's in the shape of Speed Demon. There's only a nose between them at the line, and there were big distances back to the rest. I'm sure that horse will go close to justifying the money, but I quite like a couple against him. I would just about favour Burton Hall as my number one choice in the Magnus Mullin stable. Good third behind Casual Approach at Limerick the other day, and quite a strongly run event. I got that good on my speed figures that race, so obviously that's a contest I'm looking to stay on the right side of. And the other one to mention is Duckweed, who was run out of it late on by one of Mickey Winters, who's down in Tipperary the other day in the shape of Bits and Pieces, who was well gamble that day. Duckweed, like I thought, ran really, really well. Decent ground obviously suits her, and if the rain does stay away, she's going to have more of a chance. So Jessica Harrington's Duckweed and Mags Mullins' Burton Hall will be my two against the field in the last.
OK, two against the field in Duckweed and Burton Hall in the finale. Great stuff, Andy. I'll see you in about an hour, because you're going to come in and record the racing podcast for today. The listeners are going to either be sick of you or be very grateful for your numerous good tips. So
like most days, I think the former is very much the order of the day.
Yes, absolutely. So I'll see you soon. And best luck with your picks in Cork this evening.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.